I am grateful for your part in this, Mynheer. I know that you have been instrumental in affording me this opportunity. In view of what has happened between our families, it is an extraordinary gesture you have made. Well, there was nothing personal in my decision. Manfred shook his head. It was simply a case of the best man for the job. I have not forgotten what your family has done to mine, and I never will. I will not forget either, Shaza said softly. I have inherited guilt, rightly or wrongly. I will never be sure. However, I would like to make some reparation to your father. How would you do that, Mynheer? Manfred asked stiffly. How would you compensate a man for the loss of his arm and for all those years spent in prison? How will you pay a man for the damage to his soul that captivity has inflicted? I can never fully compensate him. Shaza agreed. However, suddenly and unexpectedly, I have been given the opportunity to restore to your father a large part of that which was taken from him. Go on, Manfred invited. I'm listening. Your father was issued a fishing license in 1929. I have searched the records. That license is still valid. Oh, what would the old man do with a fishing license now? You don't understand. He's physically and mentally ruined. The fishing industry out of Walvis Bay has revived and is booming. The number of licenses has been severely limited. Your father's license is worth a great deal of money. He saw the shift in Manfred's eyes, the little sparks of interest swiftly screened. You think my father should sell it? He asked heavily. And by any chance, would you be interested in buying it? He smiled sarcastically. Shaza nodded. Yes, of course I'd like to buy it. But that might not be the best for your father. Manfred's smile withered. He hadn't expected that. What else could he do with it? Well, we could reopen the factory and work the license together as partners. Your father puts up the license, and I put up the capital and my business skills. Within a year or two, your father's share will almost certainly be worth £1 million. Shaza watched him carefully as he said it. This was more, much more than a business offer. It was a testing. Shaza wanted to reach beyond the man's grand crust, that monumental armor of puritanical righteousness. He wanted to probe for weaknesses, to find any chinks that he could exploit later. £1 million, he repeated. Perhaps even a great deal more. And he saw the sparks in the other man's fierce, pale eyes again. Just for an instant, the little yellow sparks of greed. The man was human after all. I can deal with him now, Shaza thought. And to cover his relief, he lifted his briefcase from the floor beside his deck chair and opened it on his lap. I've worked out a rough agreement. He took out a sheaf of typed blue foolscap sheets. You could show it to your father, discuss it with him. Manfred took the sheets from him. Yeah, I will see him when I return home next week. There is one small problem, Shaza admitted. This license was issued a long time ago. The government department may wish to repudiate it. It is their policy to allow only 4 licenses. Manfred looked up from the contract. That will be no problem, Manfred said, and Shaza lifted his beer tankard to hide his smile. They had just shared their first secret. Manfred de la Rey was going to use his influence for personal gain. Like a lost virginity, the next time would be easier. Shaza had realized from the beginning that he would be an outsider in a cabinet of Afrikaner nationalists. He desperately needed a trustworthy ally amongst them, and if that ally could be linked to him by shared financial blessings and a few off-color secrets, then his loyalty would be secured. Shaza had just achieved this, with the promise of vast profits to himself to sweeten the bargain. A good day's work, he thought, as he closed the briefcase with a snap. Very good, Mynheer. I'm grateful to you for having given me your time. Now I will leave you to enjoy what remains of your holiday undisturbed. Manfred looked up. Mynheer, my wife is preparing lunch for us. She will be very unhappy if you leave so soon. At last his smile was genial. And this evening I will have a few good friends visit me for a braaivleis, a barbecue. There are plenty of spare beds. Stay the night. You can leave early tomorrow morning. You were very kind. Charles sank back in his chair. The feeling between them had changed, but Charles's intuition warned him there were hidden depths in their relationship which still had to be plumbed, and as he smiled into Manfred Delaray's topaz-coloured eyes, he felt a sudden small chill, a cold wind through a chink in his memory. Those eyes haunted him. He was trying to remember something. It remained obscure, but somehow strangely menacing. Could it have been from their childhood fight? But he did not think so. The memory was closer than that, and more threatening. He almost grasped it. And then Manfred looked down at the contract again, almost as though he had sensed what Charza was searching for, and the shape of the memory slipped away beyond Charza's grasp. Heidi Delaray came out onto the veranda in her apron, but she had changed out of her faded old skirt and twisted her plaited hair on top of her head. "Lunch is ready, and I do hope you eat fish, Mynheer Courtney." Charza set out to charm the family during lunch. Heidi and the girls were easy. The boy Lothar was different, suspicious and withdrawn. However, Charza had three sons of his own, and he drew him out with stories of flying and hunting big game, until, despite himself, the boy's eyes shone with interest and admiration. When they rose from the table, Manfred nodded grudgingly.
"Ja, Mynheer, I must remember never to underestimate you."
That evening, a small group comprising a man and woman and four children came straggling over the dunes from the south, and Manfred's children rushed out to meet them and lead them up to the veranda of the cottage. Charza stayed in the background throughout the noisy greetings of the two families. Theirs was obviously a close relationship of long standing. Of course, Charza recognized the head of the other family. He was a big man, even heavier in build than Manfred Delaray. Like him, he had also been a member of the boxing team that had participated in the Berlin Olympic Games of 1936. He had been a senior lecturer in law at Stellenbosch University, but had recently resigned to become a junior partner in the firm of Van Schoor, Delaray and Stunder, the firm in which Manfred Delaray had become the senior partner after the death of old Van Schoor some years before. Apart from his law practice, Rolf Stander acted as Manfred's chief party organizer and had managed Manfred's 1948 campaign for him. Although not himself a member of parliament, he was a leg man of the National Party, and Charza knew that he was almost certainly a member of the Bruderbond, the Brotherhood, that clandestine society of elite Afrikaners. When Manfred Delaray began to introduce them, Charza saw that Rolf Stander recognized him and looked a little sheepish.
"I hope you aren't going to throw eggs at me again, Mynheer Stander," Charza challenged him, and Rolf chuckled. "Only if you make another bad speech, Mynheer Courtney."
During the 1948 election, in which Charza had been defeated by Manfred Delaray, this man had organized the gang of bully boys who had broken up Charza's election meetings. Though Charza was smiling now, his resentment was almost as fierce as it had been at the time. It had always been standard nationalist tactics to break up the meetings of their opponents. Manfred Delaray sensed the hostile feelings between them.
"We will soon be on the same side," he said, as he stepped between them, placatingly, and placed a hand on each of their arms. "Let me find a beer for both of you, and we'll drink to let bygones be bygones."
The two of them turned away, and quickly Charza scrutinized Rolf Stander's wife. She was thin, almost to the point of starvation, and there was an air of resignation and weariness about her. So it took a moment for even Charza's trained eye to see how pretty she must once have been, and how attractive she still was. She was returning his scrutiny, but dropped her eyes the moment they met Charza's single eye. Heidi Delaray had not missed the exchange, and now she took the woman's arm and led her forward.
Mynheer Courtney, this is my dear friend, Sarah Stander.
Aangename kennis, Charza bowed slightly. Pleasant meeting, mevrouw.
How do you do, squadron leader? The woman replied quietly. And Charza blinked. He had not used his rank since the war. It was, of course, poor form to do so.
Have we met? He asked, for once off balance, and the woman shook her head quickly and turned to Heidi to speak about the children. Shaza was unable to pursue the matter, for at that moment Manfred handed him a beer, and the three men carried their tankards down off the stoop to watch Lothar and the stander's eldest boy, Jacobus, build the fire for the barbecue. Though the masculine conversation was informed and their views interesting, both Manfred and Rolf Stander were educated and highly intelligent men. Shaza found his thoughts returning to the thin, pale woman who had used his Air Force rank. He wished for the opportunity to speak to her alone, but realized that was unlikely and dangerous. He knew very well how protective and jealous the Afrikaners were of their women, and how easy it would be to precipitate an ugly and damaging incident. So he kept away from Sara Stunder, but for the rest of the evening observed her carefully, and so gradually became aware of undercurrents of emotion in the relationships of the two families. The two men seemed very close, and it was obvious that their friendship was of long standing, but with the women it was different. They were just too kind and considerate and appreciative of each other, the certain indications of deep-seated female antagonism. Shaza stored that revelation, for human relationships and weaknesses were essential tools of his trade. But it was only later in the evening that he made two other important discoveries. He intercepted an unguarded look that Sara Stunder directed at Manfred de la Rey while he was laughing with her husband. And Shaza recognized it instantly as a look of hatred. But that particularly corrosive type of hatred that a woman can conceive for a man whom she once loved. That hatred explained for Shaza the wariness and resignation that had almost ruined Sara Stunder's beauty. It explained also the resentment that the two women felt for each other. Heidi de la Rey must realize that Sara had once loved her husband, and that beneath the hatred she probably still did. The play of feelings and emotions fascinated Shaza. He had learned so much of value and achieved so much in a single day that he was well satisfied by the time that Rolf Stander called his family together. "It's almost midnight. Come on, everybody. We've got a long walk home." Each of them had brought a flashlight, and there was a flurry of farewells, the girls and women exchanging kisses, while first Rolf Stander and then his son Jacobus came to shake Shaza's hand. "Goodbye," Jacobus said, with the innate good manners and respect for elders that every Afrikaner child is taught from birth. "I would also like to hunt a black-maned lion one day." He was a tall, well-favoured lad, 2 or 3 years older than Lothar. He had been as fascinated as Lothar by Shaza's hunting stories, but there was something familiar about him that had niggled Shaza all evening. Lothar stood beside his friend, smiling politely. And suddenly it dawned on Shaza. The boys had the same eyes. The pale cat eyes of the de la Reys. For a moment he was at a loss to explain it. And then it all fell into place. The hatred he had observed in Sara Stunder was explained. Manfred de la Rey was the father of her son. Shaza stood beside Manfred on the top stair of the stoop, and they watched the Stander family climb the dunes, the beams of their flashlights darting about erratically, and the shrill voices of the children dwindling into the night, and he wondered if he could ever piece together the clues he had gleaned this evening and discover the full extent of Manfred de la Rey's vulnerability. One day it might be vital to do so. It would be easy enough to discreetly search the records for the marriage date of Sara Stunder and compare it to the birth date of her eldest son. But how would he ever coax from her the true significance of her use of his military rank? She had called him squadron leader. She knew him, that was certain, but how and where? Shaza smiled. He enjoyed a good mystery. Agatha Christie was one of his favourite authors. He would work on it.